It's like the right stuff with black chicks.
Now it sounds like you're pitching a porn.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vincent, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right.
Seems like we just talked about a week ago. Well, less than a week ago. We just recorded another episode of the Rough Draft podcast.
Right. Yeah.
No pressure, but the website, I'm gonna do this. The website is up and running. So go on over to don'tpanicradioshow.com and check out the latest innovation in web design. Speaking of excitement, you know, they have announced they made a major announcement related to the Academy Awards. By the way, hey, did you know the Academy Awards are coming up?
I haven't even gotten over the Grammys yet. It's just like, you know, one award show and then the other one's right around the corner.
It's funny. We talk about music a lot, but we didn't have a Grammys show.
It's too much pressure.
Well, we did talk about music. Sorry, dear listeners. You're going to have to go over to Rough Draft to hear us talk about the Grammys. Because he's the most humble person, aside from myself, who I've ever met. Well, aside from you. He's the third most humble person I've ever met, MP Cavalier. And we had him on the next episode of Rough Draft, and he talked about the Grammys. Talked about Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground. He talked about hair bands, 80s hair bands. He talked about British heavy metal. I felt like even though he was making fun of it, I think there was an air of respect in there too. At least I'd like to believe it.
Well, he did say it was tongue in cheek. Mm-hmm. So after editing the show, because at first I was like, oh yeah, really? Oh yeah? Because, you know, I'm a fan. But after listening to it, to edit it, I'm like, okay, yeah, he was actually doing this kind of with a little tongue-in-cheek going on.
So the Academy Awards are coming up, and I came across this headline. John Cho and Leslie Mann will host the 2017 Sci-Tech Awards. And by the way, they've already announced the winners to the Sci-Tech part. That's the one where, I don't know if you've ever watched the Oscars. I know that you are fond of the Oscars viewing parties, you know, where you show up in some glamorous outfit.
Yeah, people always ask me, you know, they always ask me what I'm wearing and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
They ask you who you're wearing. Then your friend Sierge greets you at the door and he says, the Appletinis are over here.
Where's the Whiskatinis?
The Whiskey Teenies are over there. Anyway, you probably don't watch because it's like a Super Bowl party. Nobody actually watches.
Right.
Anyhow, the Sci-Tech awards are the ones where at some point during the Oscars, probably when they figure the viewership is at its lowest, they go, and in a hotel across town, the Sci-Tech Awards and a couple of actors who aren't really all that hot right now presented, and it was in this... And they always show it, and it's one of those god-awful hotel conference spaces where people have their wedding reception. It's got the ceiling, you know, and the terrible fluorescent lighting.
And, like, the one wall that can slide to make room for a bigger room.
Right, and it's closed because there's a Moose Lodge convention going on the other side.
Woo-woo!
And then the actors are always like, these are the real heroes. These are the ones that make it happen. They make us look good. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what? You don't believe any of that. Otherwise, they'd be here.
Yeah, tonight. Otherwise, they... Exactly.
John Cho and Leslie Mann. I had to think about Leslie Mann. I had to look her up because for some reason I was thinking she was that black chick on Saturday Night Live. But she's not black, but she is a chick.
Hmm.
She hasn't been in anything lately. But the nice, the interesting thing about the Oscars coming up is we, meaning you and me, claim to not know anything about popular culture because we were never the popular kids.
No.
However, I think we know enough about how Hollywood works and how popularity contests work that we could probably guess. If we put our heads together, we could probably guess who's going to win the various categories of Oscar.
Without a doubt.
And in fact, we can find out if we can do it better than other people. Because at challenge.oscar.com/ballot, you can go in there and actually it'll have you log in with your Facebook account, which I've already done.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go through there and vote. And then there's a leaderboard to see how you stack up, say, against your friends or against other people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to encourage our listeners to go do this. We're going to do it right now. And you'll get to hear what our answers are live on the air. And, you know, go in there. If you don't think we're right, go in there, make your guesses. And then, you know, on Oscar night when we're all at our Oscar viewing parties.
That's right.
With our friends.
Eating our Oscar dip. And
you're with your Oscar dip. And those little foil-wrapped chocolates. Like that little guy. So let's jump right into this. Hooray for Hollywood! Best Picture. And the nominees are Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, Moonlight. Okay, first question.
Hmm.
How many of those have you seen?
About three of them.
Which ones?
I've seen Arrival, I've seen Hidden Figures, and I think there's one other one in there that I, off the top of my head, I can't remember what it is.
So I've seen Arrival.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
And that's it. That's the only one.
Dude, of all those on that
dude,
list.
I like that movie. I don't know what your problem is. I like that movie.
Okay. We can still be friends.
Maybe it's because maybe the problem you had with it is you didn't understand it. Maybe you should watch it another couple times.
Oh, ow.
No, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you about my relationship with that movie.
Okay.
It's the same relationship that I had with Interstellar.
I was going to say, if you hated Interstellar, but you liked Arrival, I'm curious how this works.
Did I? I may have created the wrong impression.
Okay.
I never meant to say I hated Interstellar. I just didn't like that it confused me. But since the thing I did not like about Arrival was the fact that it took, like, I had to sit there and draw a freaking diagram to figure it all out.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I liked the concepts that they were. I enjoyed the concepts. I thought the acting was good. Who's the guy? Oh, crap. Who played the dude? Not Forrest Whitaker.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, that's why I liked that movie. Because I felt like at any moment he could go, you know, Olympus is down.
Or he could shoot some arrows at the big space rock because he's also Hawkeye in the Avengers.
Oh, he is. Is he also the guy I confused with the guy that played in Olympus Has Fallen?
Yeah.
London Has Fallen?
Completely. I did like you, I did like the concept. I just hated the fact that it was like a 2-hour quaalude.
The other thing, it does not, those aliens that they had, and I know every movie about aliens follows the same template. The aliens are either very humanoid or very much like some other animal that we have on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, I subscribe to the... I never thought of it before I heard him say it about 6 months ago. Neil deGrasse Tyson, who said, we don't know what an alien life form would look like, but it would have to be at least as different from humans as jellyfish are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? Oh, not at least as different, but way more different from humans than, say, jellyfish are from humans. Because mm-hmm. we share like 60% of the DNA, and we would share probably 0% of the DNA with an alien life form. So those septopods or whatever they were that just kind of looked like a cross between a dinosaur and an octopus weren't enough different to really...
Yeah.
So, but we have digressed. You thought it was a horrible movie.
Yeah.
Would you say it was the worst movie of all time?
Not the worst movie of all time, but the worst movie I've seen in a while.
How about we ask our listeners what the worst movie what their worst movie of all time would be?
Okay.
All right. So I'll post that. That'll be our Facebook question of the week. We'll see if anybody says Arrival.
I promise I won't go on there under like somebody else's name.
If anybody says Red Dawn, I will find them and I will kill them. All right. So anyway, not having seen any of these movies, one of the advantages we have is they already had the Golden Globes. I think it's going to come down to me, it's going to come down to La La Land or Moonlight. And I'm going to go with Moonlight. And here's why. Normally it would be La La Land because it took all the Golden Globe shit. And it's like a lot of the same type people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But last year and the year before, the Oscars had like zero African Americans up for best actor or actress or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year there's like, we'll get to this in a second. Is Andrew Garfield African American? There's at least one. Denzel Washington.
Yeah,
I don't see color.
Yeah, so. That's right. You're colored blind.
And therefore, I think there's a mood amongst the Academy members right now, and I think they'll pick Moonlight for that reason. What do you think?
Probably, but I would rather the Oscar went to Hidden Figures.
So you would want to vote with your heart.
Yes.
I wonder if you and I each should do our own and see, and then we can see how we do against each other.
What do you think? if we just say our answers, I'll have them for posterity, and then we can compare them next week.
Good. Well, one of us will have to write them down. So mine will be on the website. So if you want to put your answer somewhere, you'll have to write it down or something.
I'll listen to the show and do it later.
You can do that too. Actor, yeah, you can listen to the show like half a dozen times like you usually do to edit it. Actor in a leading role. Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea. Andrew Garfield, Hacksaw Ridge. Ryan Gosling, La La Land. Viggo Mortensen, Captain Fantastic. Denzel Washington, Fences. I'd like to believe that Aragorn's going to win this year.
It would be nice if Aragorn would win something.
I love that movie. Have you seen Captain Fantastic?
No, I keep meaning to, but I always end up finding something else to watch and regretting it later, like Arrival.
That's a good one. Now, of these movies, again, I've only seen one, and it was Captain Fantastic.
Andrew Garfield is... Spider-Man in the not the Captain America movie that just came out, but the previous Spider-Man movies. That's who Andrew Garfield is.
Okay.
I just figured that out.
All right, so there's one black dude. I'm going to go with him, Denzel Washington. Not just because he's black, but I haven't seen Fences, but I know that Denzel Washington is a good actor. So I'd like for Viggo Mortensen to win.
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. Women everywhere would just queef if Viggo Mortensen would win Best Actor.
So who's your pick for actor in a leading role?
Well, this country loves war, so I'm going to go with Andrew Garfield in that Hacksaw Ridge movie.
All right. Next category, actor in a supporting role. Mahershala Ali. Mahershala. Or as they would say in the South, Mahershal. I'm just going to call him Herschel. Herschel Ali, Moonlight. Jeff Bridges, Hell or High Water. Lucas Hedges, Manchester by the Sea. Dev Patel, Lion. Michael Shannon, Nocturnal Animals.
Oh my God.
I'm just going to go on record saying I have absolutely no idea.
I watched 21 minutes of Nocturnal Animals and... Who gives these people fucking money to make these fucking movies? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, but how did Michael Shannon do as actor in a supporting role?
Well, considering I wanted everyone in that movie dead pretty badly, I would say.
I'm going to go with... I think that picking Moonlight for Best Picture and Denzel for... actor in a leading role is probably enough of the guilt votes for now. So I'm going to go with Lucas Hedges, Manchester by the Sea. Because that sounds like a really artsy, like, makes you feel cool to vote for it kind of thing. Yes.
I'm going with the dude. I want the dude to win.
Hell or High Water, Jeff Bridges. Sorry. Actress in a leading role. All right, now we get to the part that pisses me off. Why do we need an actor in a leading role and an actress in a leading role? Why not just have one? They're all actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need a male and a female?
Yeah, we should have like the valedictorian and the salutatorian, or how you pronounce it. So that they're neither one of them are gender biased. They just, you know.
So it's first place and second place.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens in our high school, I don't talk about this, but it just so happens in my class, I was the valedictorian and it was a girl who was the salutatorian, but it didn't have to be that way. If she had just gotten better grades, or if I had slipped up at some point and gotten a B, then she could have been valedictorian. I could have been salutatorian.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Not to make it about me.
No.
But my point being, all right, I get it in shot put or boxing, right? The male anatomy and men and women are different. We talk about this on all the time,
and God bless them for it.
But so physically, yes, you got to separate them. And yeah, okay, I know we're going to get a lot of letters and phone calls from women who are going to go, well, yeah, but how would you like to box Muhammad Ali's daughter, whatever her name is? She'd probably kick your ass. And I'm like, I'm not saying every man could beat every woman.
Right.
I'm saying if you could take the above average male boxer and he would probably beat the best female boxer in the world simply because of physical differences.
Yeah, like Mike Tyson would totally eat Muhammad Ali's daughter only because of size and hunger.
So why actor and actress? Why do the women have to get a separate category? There's nothing inherent about a man. In fact, a female might be better at acting in a lot of ways simply because they're more in touch with their emotions and shit, you know?
Yeah.
But not necessarily. I mean, men are in touch. Why not just have one category? This fucking Academy is supposed to be, you know, Hollywood's supposed to be all progressive and everything. What the hell?
Maybe it's just to prolong the show. Because it's like a 3-hour ass slap. I heard it described as.
Okay. So if they wanted to prolong the show, they'd just get rid of that music when people are trying to give their speech.
That's
you always get that guy that nobody knows. And he's like, he's thinking people are actually listening. He's like, oh, I didn't expect this at all, but here, let me get this big, long piece of paper. Oh, I'm so shocked. I just didn't realize.
Yeah. I wrote this just in case.
Just in case. And I want to thank this following list of people you've never heard of. and I'm going to get pissed if you start playing that music. And I know there are five other people behind me that also want to talk, but I'm going to talk, and I'm going to use up all of our time. So if they wanted to prolong the show, they could just let that guy keep going. Anyway, actress in a leading role, Isabelle Huppert. Or is it Huppert? L. Ruth Negga. Loving. Don't play the cock. That's her name. I don't know if she's African-American or not. That's her name. Natalie Portman, Jackie. You'll get that joke when you listen back to it, by the way.
I got it now. start again with Natalie Portman. Cause
Oh, I'd like to get with Natalie Portman.
Oh, yeah.
Emma Stone, La La Land. Meryl Streep, Florence Foster Jenkins. Dude, I think this is where La La Land starts cleaning up. I'm going to pick Emma Stone. Who are you going to pick? We only got 21 more of these to go. So.
Well, we really got to do best lighting. Best sound.
No, that was in the SciTech Awards. We already did those last weekend over at the Days Inn conference room.
I'm gonna go. I always have to go with my heart. I'm gonna go with Natalie Portman, because
I don't think you're going with your heart on that one.
I was being.
But okay.
I was being gentlemanly about it.
Actress in a supporting role, we have Viola Davis in Fences, Naomi Harris in Moonlight, Nicole Kidman in Lion, Octavia Spencer, Hidden Figures. Michelle Williams, Manchester by the Sea. I'll go with whatever you think on this.
I'm going with the Hidden Figures girl, because it really is. It's one of the best movies I've seen in a very long time.
I keep hearing that.
I think whatever they get nominated for, they should get.
I do keep hearing that.
If you liked movies like The Right Stuff and anything about the space program, Apollo 18 or 13 or whatever the hell it was, yeah, this movie is well worth seeing.
So when they were pitching this movie to the suits, were they like, all right, it's like The Right Stuff with black chicks? And the guy's like, wait, didn't Ghostbusters do that and they got in a lot of trouble for it?
That sounds like you're pitching a porn parody.
The Right Stuff.
the only thing, and I'll be done. I'll make it quick. The only problem I had with Hidden Figures is John Glenn will always be Ed Harris.
Ah, yes.
And he wasn't in this movie. But other than that, the movie was fantastic. You're like,
that's not John Glenn. What?
It's like, he looks like Ed Harris. That's not it.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, you know, just so we don't have to rush anything, we don't have to do all of these, as you said, like makeup and hair. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Short subject documentary.
Do they have like soundtrack and score and all that shit?
Music, original score.
Yeah. Once we get through the the actors and actresses, we can just jump to whatever. I mean,
right. Music, original score, Jackie, La La Land, Lion, Moonlight, and Passengers.
I got nothing on that one. Was Jackie on that list?
Yes.
Okay, that one. I watched 20 minutes of Passengers and stopped. I couldn't.
This one will be La La Land, no doubt.
Is La La Land like a musical or something?
Yes.
Oh, well, then there you go. Yeah, you're probably right.
Music, original song. I don't know if you've heard any of these. Audition, The Fools Who Dream in La La Land. Can't Stop the Feeling in Trolls. City of Stars in La La Land. The Empty Chair, Jim, the James Foley story. Or How Far I'll Go, Mona. Have you heard any of those songs?
No, but I'm betting that Moana, or however you pronounce that one will take it, because everybody loves that movie.
Do they love the song?
Probably, because they love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those pixelated singing movies, so everybody loves it.
Oh, here's a animated feature film, and Moana is in it. Kubo and the Two Strings. Okay. My Life as a Zucchini. The Red Turtle. And Zootopia. The only one I've seen is Zootopia out of those.
I'm gonna go with Kubo because next to Moana, more people know about Kubo than Moana, so I'm gonna go with Kubo.
You don't think Zootopia just from sheer popularity?
No.
I'm gonna pick Zootopia. Just to be different. Okay. And also because sticking with my earlier theme, Zootopia is about not judging others by their species. And I think in America today, I know we don't want to talk politics, but I think there's too much of hating others because they're a different species. And I hate that. I just hate the fact, like, Trump feels we got to build a wall just to keep different species out of our country. Well, this country was founded on, it's a melting pot of different species. So I'm sorry. I'll get down off my soapbox.
Off your wall.
Soap doesn't come in soapboxes anymore. I don't know why we still say that.
No.
So you jump back down here to, okay, there's writing, visual effects. Deepwater Horizon, Doctor Strange, The Jungle Book, Kubo and the Two Strings, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Doctor Strange will kill it in visual effects.
I'll go with that.
It's a 2-hour Escher film.
God, so, I love Escher as a film creator.
I'm just saying, if you can imagine an Escher drawing as a film for 2 hours.
Okay, well, that's pretty much all the interesting ones. I will go through and pick some other ones just so I can have them all picked and we can check and see how we did next week. Some of them would be funny because, like, if I get, like, where's the one that I thought was funny? No, it's not on here. I love the ones where it's like best whatever. Like, oh, I know, it is visual effects because they always go best visual effects, Industrial Light and Magic. You know, it's like a company. Like, a company is winning an award. You go, wait, corporations aren't people.
That's right. That means the 10,000 people, the guy that, like, got coffee, you know, for everybody else as part of that award.
Exactly.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Oscar Mayer, the first name in Bologna.
How's that?
Space age warrior, I can fly sideways through sound. But if
now it's time for headlines. All right, it's a special edition of headlines, and maybe something that we'll just keep doing if we like it. Mm-hmm. Paul and I had a caucus. Paul and I caucused. They do that. They've done that. I've heard that. That's a corporate buzz phrase that didn't quite catch on.
I wonder why.
For like a period of 3 years, people would say, like, if they needed to go off and discuss something, mm-hmm. they would say, oh, we'll caucus and then we'll come back. And I always thought, I love that one. I want to get that one going because it's so insanely weird that,
yeah.
that it would just be fun to have it be a thing. But it didn't last.
Doesn't like watching two old white guys caucus.
Caucus? You barely know us. These headlines come to you from what I believe is probably a viral video by this point from the site, the web page, or what's that thing called? Facebook. From the Facebook page, Upworthy, they put a video that just had a bunch of, it basically said, you know, with all the bad news going around, you probably missed these headlines. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good going on. There's like 20 of them.
Yeah. Like, and they weren't fluff either. That was the best part. They weren't like a distraction. They were like, well, this shit actually happened and nobody knows about it. It's like those memes that used to be like This Week in Science, and it would have like, you know, six really cool things that science has done that were all pretty much legit.
You raise a good point, which is a lot of times people will go, hey man, how come it's not news when, you know, a Boy Scout helped an old lady across the street? Maybe that should be on the news. Or, hey, you know, some kids down at the school didn't get shot. Why isn't that on the news? I always just want to go, what are you, an idiot? It's not in the news. I mean, people care about that stuff, but it happens 10 million times over the course of a day. A, which ones are you going to pick? B, dog bites man, not news. Man bites dog, news.
It's the extreme response that you get from people who like the same shit every day because they're scared of what you consider news.
Yeah. These headlines, though, and the thing that I think makes this different, as you pointed out, these headlines are not fluff. These are not like dog bites man type headlines. These mm-hmm. are pretty significant advancements mm-hmm. in the human experience and the not so human experience. As we talked earlier, I'm for all species.
That's right.
Not just humans.
That's right.
I don't believe in building walls to keep pandas out, for example. You're- Speaking of pandas, one of the ones was pandas are no longer on the endangered species list. Manatees no longer, which I think is really cool. I don't want to live in a world without manatees. Those goddamn things are fucking cute.
Neither do like pirates and explorers. They don't want to live in a world without manatees because what else would they have sex with?
That's what you call a non sequitur because I don't understand it.
Well, manatees were often mistaken for mermaids.
Oh, got it.
And my thing is, how fucking horny do you have to be to go, God, I'm going to tear that manatee a new one?
You would have to be as horny as those guys on the cartoons that were stranded either on a raft or a desert island were hungry. Because the one dude would look at the other dude. Oh. The other dude would turn into a steak. I'm like, how hungry do you have to be for a fat dude on the other side or skinny by now to look like a steak? I guess you'd have to be as horny as a pirate who thought a manatee was a mermaid. All right. Well, I'm glad we solved that mystery. But there's 20 of these things, and they're all kind of like that. You know, good shit happening in the world, and not just regular good shit, but like major good shit. And so we've picked out a few to share with you during our headlines segment. This one's kind of a two-parter, and it has to do with vaccines. First, measles has been eradicated from North, Central, and South America. It's like this whole hemisphere doesn't have measles anymore. I don't know what the scientific definition of eradicated is, To me, that means we don't have any more measles. So if I find somebody with measles,
right,
what does that mean? I mean, something, they're from another country?
Or they miscounted.
Maybe it means like it's barely ever reported. Maybe that's what it means. And then the other was an Ebola vaccine has been developed by the Canadians, and it was tested with 100% success. So let's just start with that. I mean, these are vaccines,
mm-hmm.
which don't get a lot of great press, you know.
Thanks to one crackpot doctor and a couple of crackpot actresses.
You like to expound on that?
No. I don't think I have to.
No. No, you don't have to. Obviously, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to continue this show. I mean, you don't have to.
Don't tell me how to do my job.
You have to tell me how to do my job. Who would the actress be?
No, wasn't it Jenny McCarthy was like the anti-vaxxer who everybody suddenly listened to?
She an actor? I thought she was a Playboy model.
She had to act like she liked it from Jim Carrey, so.
Right, if you don't have anything to say about it, I do.
Okay.
I want to know this Ebola vaccine that they're saying has 100% success. I want to know how they know. It's like, what do they do? Am I going to Africa anytime soon? You're like the Canadian Health Service is like, hey, you going over there to Africa over there? I'm going to Africa, eh? Well, here, can you take this here vaccine and, you know, just stick it in your arm there? What's it for? Don't worry about it. All right. You are now, it's like Snake Plissken getting ready to go in and escape from New York. You just hit them with this vaccine and they're like, you are now vaccinated against Ebola. Oh, okay. Well, you know, I also have the 100%, you know, containment suit with the respirator. Like, yeah, you're not going to be needing that. Because I just vaccinated you against Ebola.
Leave that behind. You can pack more stuff now.
If you don't mind, I think I'm just going to pack it anyway. Just kind of, there's still room. I'm really not taking that extra pair of jeans. So I can, no, you're not going to need it. Just leave it. You don't need that paper. I was thinking I might. Look, you can't take the paper suit. We have to test this vaccine. And if you come back without Ebola, we know we were right.
Maybe they just had like pox parties.
Can I take this dust mask from Lowe's? No, nothing. In fact, as soon as you get off the plane, find the closest person with Ebola, and rub your eye on one of their open sores, and then.
But then again, this is Canada though, because it could be like. You don't have to take that suit. Are you sure? Now don't be rude now. Oh, okay. I don't want to be rude.
Oh, okay.
So, I'll leave it behind.
Oh, you don't want to.
Because they're very polite and they don't want to be rude. So.
Well, I gotta pack my paper suit. Don't you know? Oh, you don't need that. Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, how long are you gonna be gone? Oh, about 2 weeks.
How much would it suck if they like get over there and they rub their eye all over this open Ebola sore, and then the Canadians back to the thing are like, oh, that was the measles vaccine, eh? we gave them the wrong vaccine.
So, somehow I'm picturing this poor African going, man, people in Canada are fucking weird. They just come over here and rub their eyeball on me. Is this like a Canadian thing?
The other African is like, well, translated... Well, the Americans want to kill us. At least the Canadians, all they do is rub their eyeballs on our Ebola sores. I kind of like that language. The language of all the pops and stuff like that. I kind of like that. Because if you have like laryngitis, you can still talk.
Yeah, because I've had it so bad where all I did was pop and squeak. I might have been speaking whatever the hell that is.
And what would sign language be for that language? It would just be.
No, they're cracking their knuckles, you know.
Cracking knuckles. Okay, that's enough of that. That's racist. I thought we said we were going to try to be less racist. Oh, wait, that was me.
That was just...
All right, another headline along the same theme of being kind to other species. Actually, this is the same species, humans. The Colombian government has reached a peace agreement with the FARC rebel group, ending a war that left 7 million people dead or homeless. Yeah, I hate when they do that. It's like 7 million people dead or homeless. Like, what if it was 6,999,000 homeless and like 1,000 dead? I know the headline wouldn't be as cool. They left 1,000 dead and nearly 7 million homeless. But
see, all I can imagine is the guy from Johnny Dangerously writing that article. Because it's like the versus the Farkin.
I thought you were going to mention the Kentucky Fried Movie.
Oh, no.
Everyone here is either dead or homeless. Are you dead? I don't know. Are you homeless? I don't care. But yeah, FARC, the Farkin rebel group. The only thing I really know about the Civil War in Colombia or whatever is what I learned from reading Mac Mullen books. Which isn't a lot, because once I discovered The Zone, I read those more than I read the Mac Mullen books.
Man, if you were in The Zone, you were fucked. That's what I learned from The Zone.
I started reading the, you know, after like 15 years, they wrote, he wrote a Zone.
Yeah, 10.
I couldn't, like, I think the, so for our listeners who don't know, it has nothing to do with Colombia or FARC and rebels. It's, you know, there's war in Europe, and pretty much the U.S. and Soviet Union have exchanged nuclear exchanges, biological, chemical weapons, mm-hmm. and pretty much a big swath of Central Europe is nothing but a irradiated wasteland. And there's this troop of special forces that just go around doing special forces shit. And it's great.
Yes. Yeah. They really, they were great books.
But back in the day when I could imagine that actually happening, mm-hmm. somehow it was better. I was reading the 10th installment.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just that he lost his mojo and it wasn't as good, or if it was me not being able to get into it because it's not something we think about a lot these days.
That's exactly what it was.
Although these days, with, you know, some of the political climate in the U.S. and Russia, maybe we should start thinking about that again.
It would be great if, like, you know, we had something like that. It would be great for the sake of, you know, men's adventure novels. We'd have, like, more again. Because now we don't. We don't have hardly anything anymore.
I know. Terrorism has kind of jumped the shark.
Yeah. Like, God, when the goddamn, you know, Berlin Wall came down and the Cold War ended, it pretty much could put the kibosh on men's adventure.
There's always, I mean, Putin is a bad dude, so there's always that. Yeah. And Trump could fly off the rails at any moment. There's China. China has an aircraft carrier.
Maybe we're headed into a new golden age of men's adventure novels.
We can only hope. All right. The last headline I have here is, after more than a century, Einstein's theory of gravitational waves has proven correct. And that's the one where this was fascinating. I remember this mm-hmm. one. This was like early last year. They had predicted that there was this very early, like very soon after the Big Bang, there was this giant black hole created mm-hmm. somewhere far away. Mm-hmm. And they did all the calculations and shit. And of course, the light had gotten here, so we were able to observe it and the radio waves and all that shit. So we knew that it had happened. And somebody like punched all of Einstein's equations into the computer.
And they had the little blinking lights and stuff.
There was a blinking light. There were some buttons and some dials.
Some of them like turned. Reels of magnetic tape moving at erratic.
Yeah, moments. There were reels of magnetic tape. And there was some paper, like ticker tape coming out of it too. And they predicted that if if Einstein's theory of gravitational waves was correct, then on this date, around this time, we should experience that gravitational wave of that black hole or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But to detect it, you know, you can't, the wave is so large and the amplitude and the frequency and all this stuff is such that you need to detect, you can't detect this kind of wave with just one like antenna.
Right.
You need like multiple ones and they need to be super far apart.
Right.
And the way that you will know it happened is time will change briefly. Because, Einstein's theory was gravity bends space-time.
Mm-hmm.
Not just space, but space-time.
Right.
And so if these waves came through, then then gravity should change briefly enough and time should change like minuscule, like super, like millionths of a second, right? But so they had one antenna like in, I don't know where they were, but just imagine one antenna in Hawaii and another one in the Bahamas, you know, and they, and they fucking did it. They're like, yep.
Uh-huh.
They were able to measure this gravity wave. And you look at that and you go, man, the universe, the secrets, I call them secret. They're not really secrets. It's not like the universe is going, I'm not telling. It's just like the shit we don't know about the universe. Oh, my God. And if Einstein could have lived to be 150 or 200 years old, what else would he have come up with? And where are the other Einsteins?
Uh-huh.
I'm sure the other Einsteins are out there thinking of shit every day. But we don't get to hear about it because we're too busy worrying about Hillary's emails and, you know, Trump's hairdo, right?
Right, which is why we have these particular headlines.
That's why you need to listen to the Don't Panic radio show. I just thought that was awesome.
Anytime that like something like that happens, you got to kind of step back for a second.
Yeah.
You know, and just like do like a Bill and Ted
whoa
moment, you know. You got to have like a Keanu moment.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it for too long.
And what it does, for me anyway, and we've talked about this, when we were kids, there was magic and there was anything is possible. And you get older, you read more books, and then the internet comes along. I was telling somebody, one of the reasons I hate, this was somebody at work. I got to watch myself at work. I've been revealing more and more of my inner workings, but, yeah, that sounded pretty bad. It's like, yeah, not only could you get fired, you could get arrested for doing that.
I was just going to let it go.
I don't mean those inner workings. I mean, like, the internet. Oh, there's video killed the radio star, right? And then the internet killed the video star. And then the internet also killed the magic. Because now, any urban legend you hear, any, did you know that this was a thing? You go, well, if that actually was a thing, I'd be able to find a video of it on the internet. So things like like ghosts. God knows I've searched, and I have not been able to find irrefutable proof of ghosts on the internet. And I think about that, and I think everything is on video these days. And back when we were kids, all you needed was somebody saying they experienced something.
Yeah.
But then I see things like this gravitational waves thing, and I think, oh man, there's way more that maybe one day we'll say, well, of course you didn't catch it on video. That'd be like saying, I'll believe radio waves exist when I see a video of it. It's like, no, you can't see radio waves, right? You can't see gravitational waves. You can't see ghosts, you know?
Right.
Might be the interpretation there. I'm just glad another one of Einstein's theories has been proven correct.
You know what was a funny thing? A buddy of mine, we were talking today about how, like, the possibility, I mean, it would be great if this happened in our lifetime, but the possibility of there being life forms existing under the ice on Europa, it's a pretty good chance that it exists, you know. not people running around take me to your leader, that kind of thing, but there's something under there, okay? If we, hopefully in our lifetime, if we experience that, if we go there, like land a probe or whatever, and they manage to find something, we've rocketed so far ahead into the future with discovering this, but we've also gone like 150, 200 years into the past when people just went, I bet there's life on that planet.
Oh, yeah.
And lo and behold, there was. You know, it was commonplace in the science fiction community and in the science community to go, well, there's probably life on Venus because Venus is the same size as Earth and kind of the same color and all that. So it takes all this massively advanced science to prove something we thought 150 years ago.
That's a great point. I never thought about it that way. But shortly, so say in the 1400s, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or even before that, the 1200s, or whenever the Vikings first discovered North America or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you think about what we call Western civilization, basically Europe and the Middle East, and even if you think about China, just the idea that there's another continent over there is one concept. Mm-hmm. The concept that there's a civilization that lives on that continent is another pretty wild concept. And then once you figure that part out and you've got these astronomers going, hey, there are other worlds in those things that look like stars. Those are actually planets like ours. They're round. They have land. They probably have water for all we know.
They actually pass in front of other stars, yeah. Which is how we can figure out their planets and not stars.
And it would be insane. You just think about how insane it would have been back in those days to be the person that said, oh, there can't be life on those planets. You'd have to go, really?
Yeah.
Just because it's another planet, there's not going to be people on that planet too?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 100 years ago, we didn't know there were people here in North America.
Right.
And now we see there's a huge civilization over here, one that we're going to kill, but it's here.
We're going to kill it.
Yeah. That I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, it hit me. It just hit me today when we were talking about it. I'm like, wow, to go so far ahead to prove something we thought, you know, a couple hundred years ago. It's just, to me, it's great. It's like it's a great little time to be alive.
It's also amazing that Einstein used math and physics and all that stuff to come up with this gravitational wave theory. And 100 years later, we detect it and we prove it and go, yep, that's correct. It makes me want to go like see what else Einstein said.
Right.
What were his other theories? You know, do you have some other theory that we can, you know, put to bed and say, yep, that's correct.
A friend of mine once said Einstein, you know, couldn't get laid, so he bent light instead. Kind of reminds me of the George Costanza thing where he gives up trying to get laid and suddenly he becomes this genius because he puts all of his energy into that.
I don't remember that one. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
And then he blows it. He's coming up with all these great theories and everything and doing all this great math. And then he's in his office one night. And the cleaning lady comes in and she's Portuguese. And the next thing you know, like, he's, you know, he's like really dumb. And Jerry's like, what happened? He goes, well, I wrote out and I estimated the chances of my ever having sex with a Portuguese cleaning lady. And I had to do it for science.
With that having been said, let's check in on our Facebook question of the day. We have 17, 16, 17, 19 commenters. And wow, that's a pretty good formula we got going here. The very first one was Leslie, The Last Dragon. And he got a response from Jeff Lynch. It is not Kiss My Converse. I don't know what that means.
You know, you've never seen The Last Dragon, apparently.
No. Oh, yeah. Is there Converse involved?
Yes.
Cheryl Eisner, who is my kid's music teacher, says Death Becomes Her.
it's pretty bad.
Carmen Soto says the black hole, Eric Roth.
Whoa. From Justin. Hold on.
You take exception?
I'm calling shenanigans on the black hole. That might be the greatest.
Shenanigans has been called. Everybody go home and get your brooms and meet back here.
Shenanigans. I've been called. Sorry, continue.
We have shenanigans on the field.
The shenanigan flag goes down. No, Black Hole is an awesome movie. Dude, it's a mysterious island in space with Ernest Borgnine.
What could be better?
Nothing. Trick question.
Eric Roth says, from Justin to Kelly. Hang on. You called shenanigans. I'm going to call shenanigans on this one. Jessica Frank. Idiocracy. Oh, wait. I don't know what the old weight part is, but you can't say Idiocracy was worst movie of all time.
No. It might be the second greatest movie of all time. The third, counting Pootie Tang. It might be the third greatest movie of all time.
What's the first?
Well, the first would be Pootie Tang. The second would be Black Hole. Second. The third would be Idiocracy.
Gotcha. Sue Ann Schultz Stark says Chupacabra. Versus the Alamo.
She watches a lot of those.
Starring Eric Estrada.
I'm fire sticking that tonight as soon as we get done.
Dougie Livingston, I presume, says Driven.
Yeah.
Mary Mark Rankin says Waterworld. And she says it's a toss-up between Waterworld and Boxing Helena.
Oh, good God. She does not like Waterworld, clearly, because Boxing Helena is terrible.
Hey, what was wrong with Boxing Helena? I mean, anytime you can have a quadruple or tri-truple or whatever, triple amputee, I don't know, what was she? Quadriplegic?
She was a quadruple amputee.
I felt like what's her name was what was her name? Julian Sands. No, that was the dude. First of all, Julian Sands is a pretty good actor. And that chick and the effects, okay, whatever.
Sherilyn Finn was in Boxing Helena.
Superfan James's new BFF, Caitlin Benson, says Shutter Island. Which I thought was okay. I didn't think it was bad.
I didn't see it.
Chuck Baxter says Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Chuck Baxter's girlfriend, Wendy Swank, says, wait for it. You might want to take a couple of deep breaths.
Or a drink.
The Watchmen.
Oh, all right. I'm done. I'm out. Maybe she just didn't understand it.
Maybe she should watch it a few more dozen times. I thought that movie was worth it. I mean, if you saw no other part of it than Mr. Dr. Manhattan, like fighting the Vietnamese or whoever he was fighting, the Koreans or whoever.
That was pretty cool. Mine is the sex scene in the floating owl spaceship thingy.
Ken Collison says Deep Impact. It's funny. That's the same name that we gave the porn film that I made in college.
The one that was the right stuff, but with black women.
the right stuff in her eye. My life insurance sales guy, John Hafner, says Mosquito Coast.
Shenanigans.
Should I cancel my life insurance policy with
him? You might want to.
With my luck, I'd do that and then get hit by a bus. Nate Hess says the peanut butter solution.
I've heard of that.
Ken Collison has another entry. two girls, one cup.
I'm on the fence about that one. That could go either way.
It's taking a decided porn theme here. Sarah Popejoy says Twilight. I might have to unfriend this next one. Because shenanigans doesn't really
It doesn't touch it.
Doesn't even come close. I think she may have misunderstood the question. The Princess Bride.
Wow. For a girl to say it's the worst movie of all time, that's like unheard of.
The name is Amy McIntyre. I'm going to have to reply right here now.
Maybe you didn't understand the question.
Did you misunderstand the question? Let's hope she replies to that and goes, oh, worst. Okay. This next one's kind of up there. Gretchen Skosek Klingemeyer says Half-Baked. What's wrong with Half-Baked?
We're not drug dealers. We're fundraisers.
Nate Hess, another entry. Man Bites Dog. Oh, wow. That's weird. He must be listening to the show. Duncan Mitchell, who's the smartest, the absolute smartest person he knows, says 8 million ways to die.
No. He's wrong.
Didn't you mention that movie earlier?
Yeah, that's the one from earlier, yes.
And I know that you didn't see this because this is from 5 minutes ago and you said that like 25 minutes ago.
Right. His what's his name?
Duncan Mitchell.
He sounds like a 90s sensitive rock band guy like Dave Matthews.
No.
So.
No, he's more like a... Imagine the person in your life who knows more than anyone else. Just ask him. Is more sensitive to every issue that you could be sensitive to. More sensitive than anyone else. Just ask him. Understands the complexities and the nuances of every issue and has looked at all sides and has made a determination as to which side is most worthy of our attention. Just ask him. Imagine that guy.
That would explain why he doesn't like, because he also did not understand the question.
Well, I like the guy. I don't know him personally, but he's one of Leslie's friends. And we've had some great discussions. We used to argue on Facebook, but I'll admit that he's one of, you know, when you go, hey, you know, if you keep your mind open and you like actually engage in an actual conversation, your views may adjust accordingly. He's actually one of the people who I've had those kinds of discussions with, where I kind of go, you know what, the guy's got a point. I wasn't really looking at it that way, but you know,
right.
But I would imagine he's annoyingly right all the time. Matt Walpe says, "Oh God, ugh. Groundhog Day."
What's wrong with Groundhog Day?
And then Matt Walpe says, again, he has another entry, Groundhog Day.
I was going to say, that would have been funny if he actually did that.
So I'm going to go ahead and believe that he doesn't think it was the worst movie ever, that he just thought it would be funny. Cindy Walls, Starship Troopers.
Yay!
Oh, I got a reply already to the... She did not misunderstand the question. So Amy McIntyre said, The Princess Bride. I said, huh? Did you misunderstand the question? And she replies, nope, dumb. So she thought that movie was dumb. So, oh.
You might have to, you don't need that kind of negativity in your life. You might need to unfriend her.
I don't need this kind. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to unfriend her. I'm just going to, negativity right. in my life. Negativity. In my life, I might have to. I think she knows me well enough to know I'm joking. She'll probably unfriend me. We'll see.
When you wake up tomorrow with one less friend, you'll know.
The only way I would notice that is if I kept track of how many friends I have. I'll put a winky face just in case. Oh, somebody said Deadpool, worst movie of all time.
I thought it was enjoyable, but it's not about me this time.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I watched it on our way to London. And it was a good movie to watch on the way to London, especially after wasting my time watching Batman versus Superman or whatever. So Amy McIntyre responded. I said, oh, no, I don't need this kind of negativity in my life. I might have to unfriend you. She said, bah, ha, 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 ha. Go ahead. Your loss. I don't know how to respond to that. How funny would it be if I started fucking with Amy McIntyre to make her believe I was serious? I probably could, too.
Do it.
I probably could get myself an apology letter.
And then read it on the air. All right, so then what would you say is the worst movie of all time?
Other than, it's weird because, you know, we, as you said earlier, we live in interesting times. What a crazy time to be alive.
That's right.
Because we've spanned the gulf between seeing a movie like was a huge investment. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even talking about the amount of money you paid to see it, but I'm talking about you had, it wasn't just an hour and a half or 2 hours of your time. It was a week of planning and getting a ride and spending the time. And yes, however much popcorn and all that shit was. So when you saw a movie that wasn't great, like Reds, it's like, and that movie was 3 hours, and that was the first time, I think it was like three and a half hours, and it was like that was the first time I had ever like actually thought I'm gonna die watching this movie. and so I would have put that movie there, because but now if I turned on Reds, I'd watch 20 minutes of it and go, this sucks, and I would go watch something else. So my point being, I'm the worst movie of all time in my mind. Maybe I haven't seen it because I only watched 20 minutes of it. So let me think about that. Oh, I just thought of it. What was it called? John Travolta was in it. Broken Arrow?
Oh, God, that's a bad one.
The one where the nuclear weapon is lost or something and he has to go find it.
Yeah, Christian Slater's the good guy. He's the bad guy. That came out like after Pulp Fiction, when John Travolta was ubiquitous. He was in every fucking thing there was. He was in my house one time. That's how fucking ubiquitous he was.
That's how ubiquitous he was.
That's right.
Well, it's one of those things where you go, okay, washed up, has been actor. One of his super fans becomes big Hollywood director because he did a really good job with Reservoir Dogs. So now he can pick whoever he wants. He goes, I'm a huge fan of Vinnie Barbarino, so let's have him. He gets him in there. But John Travolta didn't have the infrastructure around him to be able to figure out what's a good script and what's not a good script, like for his particular skills.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So he ends up on Broken Arrow, which was not a good script for him. Probably wasn't a good script for Christian Slater, or as I like to call him, fake Jack Nicholson. and they did, I don't know who or how this kind of thing gets past all the committees that shit has to get passed in Hollywood. All the fucking slow motion shit that they did in that movie started pissing me off. Like, he's like on his way to the toilet, and it's like slow motion. I gotta go take a leak. Why are you going in slow motion? I thought you had to go real bad. I do. Well, go in fast motion then.
Wasn't Howie Long in that movie too?
Oh, he might have been.
He was like John Travolta's, like, you know, right hand man, I think. So any movie that has Howie Long in it automatically kind of gets a big red flag.
So I don't know if it was the worst movie of all time, but when you say what's a bad movie, that one does come to mind. How about you? Worst movie of all time. Go.
A-Tor.
Yeah, if you factor in the wasted time element.
Which is exactly what I qualify as a bad movie. For me, it's a toss-up between A-Tor and To Be or Not To Be. Because I literally almost... You actually like, no, let's finish this. I've never walked out of a movie in my life and I wanted to walk out of To Be or Not To Be. You're like, no, let's finish it. I fucking hated it. But trumping that is fucking Ator, because I recently rewatched it.
I'm sorry, it's
borderline abominable.
It was free on YouTube, right?
I think actually, even the MST3000 guys had it on their show, and it was under a different name, but it was the worst. It's the worst movie of all time.
It wasn't called Conan Light.
That's what we called it. It was Conan Light. We're like, it's fake Conan. Conan gets his muscles from on the Wheel of Pain. Ator gets his muscles herding sheep. It's like, you figure that one out, folks.
That's crazy. We were the only two dudes in that theater, right?
We were the only two dudes in a lot of theaters back then.
True.
But that was, to me, that's just the worst movie of all time.
Isn't To Be or Not to Be the one where Mel Brooks runs in the
runs
in the pub in England and goes dressed as Hitler?
Yeah.
And goes, is this England?
Yeah, and that's the funny thing, because it's based on a musical, and the musical's kind of entertaining, but I don't know what it was about that movie that I just didn't want to be in that theater at that point in time.
And it was very, you know, as I think about it, and I don't think I had seen the producers by that point.
Right.
But as I think about To Be or Not to Be, it's sort of like the producers in Nazi Germany.
Yes. Know? Yeah.
It's kind of because I get confused sometimes and I think Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Like, that wasn't To Be or Not to Be. That was the producer.
The To Be or Not to Be had the opening song that was Sweet Georgie Brown, but they were singing it in Polish. And when they would get to the Sweet Georgie Brown part, they'd sing it in English for whatever reason. And I couldn't handle it. But no, Ator, hands down, worst movie Ator. Ever.
Well, there you go. So in a week where we try to be uplifting by misinterpreting and interpreting nice headlines irresponsibly, we bring you back down by talking about the worst movies of all time. And finding out that some of our friends are maybe not the friends we thought they were. Hey, thank you for listening. Go check out don'tpanicradioshow.com. It's a work in progress. You're not going to see everything there, but eventually we'll have all the past episodes over there.
Yeah.
And whatever other mischief we can think of. For now, it'll have the most recent ones. It's a thing that you can send to your friends, and please do. You don't have to go, oh, all you got to do is, you know, pull up on, if you're on an Android phone, you go to the Podbean app and you download that, and then you search for this, and then you go to the, no, just go to don'tpanicradioshow.com and click, and then you'll get the latest episode right there. Send that to your friends, share it on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, MySpace,
Pornhub,
Google Plus, Pornhub, X-Hamster, whatever your favorite social media site is. Oh, Adult Friend Finder, you know, go there. And while you're at it, while you're punching in the .coms up there in that little bar where you punch in that stuff, punch in doitindieradiohour.com and check out our friends MP Cavalier and Tolan, because they're good dudes. And I'll just speak for myself, somewhat of an inspiration. I wish I could be that humble and that articulate.
All I know is when we were recording the rough draft, part of the reason why I didn't say a whole lot was because I was too busy listening to MP. So
I know, right? His voice, first of all, his voice, his accent, everything is like, God, man, I knew there were people like this in this world. I didn't know that I would ever get to sit next to them while they were recording. For Alistair Powers, I'm Chesterfield Station. And don't you forget, nothing you just nothing, heard, just nothing, heard just was nothing, true.
Was true. Was true.
Was true.
bullshit.